His scar was starting to prickle again. He was afraid that he was making it happen by having these thoughts, and tried to direct them into another channel. He thought of poor Creature, who had expected them home and had received Yaxley instead. Would the elf keep silent, or would he tell the Death Eater everything he knew? Harry wanted to believe that Creature had changed toward him in the past month, that he would be loyal now. But who knew what would happen? What if the Death Eaters tortured the elf? Sick images swarmed into Harry's head, and he tried to push these away too, for there was nothing he could do for Creature. He and Hermione had already decided against trying to summon him. What if someone from the Ministry came too? They could not count on elfish apparition being free from the same flaw that had taken Yaxley to Grimmauld Place on the hem of Hermione's sleeve. Harry's scar was burning now. He thought that there was so much they did not know. Lupin had been right about magic they had never encountered or imagined. Why hadn't Dumbledore explained more? Had he thought that there would be time, that he would live for years, for centuries perhaps, like his friend Nicholas Flamel? If so, he had been wrong. Snape had seen to that. Snape, the sleeping snake who had struck at the top of the tower. And Dumbledore had fallen. Fallen.
"Give it to me, Gregorovitch!"
Harry's voice was high, clear and cold, his wand held in front of him by a long-fingered white hand. The man at whom he was pointing was suspended upside down in mid-air, though there were no ropes holding him. He swung there, invisibly and eerily bound, his limbs wrapped about him, his terrified face on a level with Harry's, ruddy due to the blood that had rushed to his head. He had pure white hair and a thick, bushy beard. A trussed-up Father Christmas.
"I have it not! I have it no more! It was many years ago, stolen from me!"
"Do not lie to Lord Voldemort, Gregorovitch. He knows. He always knows."
The hanging man's pupils were wide, dilated with fear, and they seemed to swell, bigger and bigger, until their blackness swallowed Harry whole. And now Harry was hurrying along a dark corridor in stout little Grigorovitch's wake as he held a lantern aloft. Grigorovitch burst into the room at the end of the passage, and his lantern illuminated what looked like a workshop. Wood shavings and gold gleamed in the swinging pool of light, and there on the window ledge sat perched, like a giant bird, a young man with golden hair. In the split second that the lantern's light illuminated him, Harry saw the delight upon his handsome face. Then the intruder shot a stunning spell from his wand and jumped neatly backward out of the window with a crow of laughter. And Harry was hurtling back out of those wide, tunnel-like pupils, and Grigorovitch's face was stricken with terror.
"Who was the thief, Grigorovitch?"
said the high, cold voice.
"I do not know. I never knew. Young man, no, please, please!"
A scream that went on, and then a burst of green light.
"Harry!"
He opened his eyes, panting, his forehead throbbing. He had passed out against the side of the tent, had slid sideways down the canvas, and was sprawled on the ground. He looked up at Hermione, whose bushy hair obscured the tiny patch of sky visible through the dark branches high above them. "Dream," he said, sitting up quickly and attempting to meet Hermione's glower with a look of innocence. "Must have dozed off. Sorry.
I know it was your scar. I can tell by the look on your face. You were looking into Vol. Don't say his name,"
came Ron's angry voice from the depths of the tent.
"Fine," retorted Hermione. "You know whose mind then."
"I didn't mean it to happen," Harry said. "It was a dream. Can you control what you dream about, Hermione?"
"If you just learnt to apply occlumency,"